and I need you to hold your hand up for just a minute, were not here last Wednesday when I taught. Okay, let me see here. All right, we're going to do a quick review then. Now, that tape is called, the real name of it is, should be called The Serving Son. The Serving Son. I think we got The Servant's Son. That's because of my Oklahoma accent. But it's the tape from last Wednesday, okay? See, I want the tape from last Wednesday. And I'm going to review it quickly because you have to have the understanding of this for where we're going to go tonight. And, oh, you are going to like tonight. You, Brad, are they going to like tonight? I tell you what, the Lord set my feet to dancing. Even this old Baptist boy got a little hustle in his legs. And I called Brad and got him plumb out of prayer. I said, I don't care if I get you out of prayer or not. We got to talk. We pounded on the table down there at Ollie's, and we shaking coffee cups all around us, about to have a running Oklahoma fit. Now, I'm telling you, I needed Andy there to run for me. It's 101. I don't run. I get Andy to run. Glory to God. Go ahead and be turning to Luke 15. And everybody knows Matthew 6:33. It's one of the most famous verses in the Bible, where Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Well, what things? All you got to do is back up a few verses, and He tells you, don't be like the Gentiles. He says they spend their whole life from the birth to the grave. Everything they do, their life is all consumed with. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Where are we going to live? How are we going to be clothed? And natural things. How are they going to get their needs met? Since they don't have a God who provides their needs, then what they have to do is spend their whole lives from the birth to the grave trying to get their own needs met. He says, now your Heavenly Father already knows that you have need of all these things. What things? Same stuff the Gentiles are beating their brains out trying to get. He says, but if the promise is this, in plain old, just plain modern day English, is this. He says, if you'll seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, here's the promise. The Father will take responsibility for providing the same stuff for you that the Gentiles spend their whole life trying to get for themselves. Now, is that plain or what? Problem is, we don't really know how to go about seeking first the kingdom. I mean, that's a wonderful statement. But, in you know, how do you translate that to real life, see? In my opinion, this whole passage, starting in Luke 15:1, and going all the way through Luke 17:10, Jesus is expounding on Matthew 6:33. He's showing us what it means to put the kingdom first, how to get your priorities right, the relationship you have when it comes to money and people. And I learned more about God's true prosperity in that passage of Scripture from Luke 15:1 through Luke 17:10 that is still sustaining Sue and I to this day. Because to this day, we still don't take up any offerings. We still don't sell any tapes. We neither one have any secular income. Well, you're just barely making it, aren't you, Brother Gary? Hardly. Hardly. He accomplished in less than 2 years what I couldn't accomplish in 30 years in the workforce. He got us completely out of debt. It's louder for the tape. Hallelujah. Are you glad for us?
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus was not lying. When I was a Gentile, I was working trying to get out of debt, and I couldn't do it on my own strength. In just 2 years working for my rich Jew, he got me out of debt without any income. I found out how to seek the kingdom first, though. We're going to talk about that. Okay, another thing. In our lifetime, Sue and I be married 23 years in December. And in our lifetime, we had opened and closed, I don't know how many times, a savings account. Y'all know what I mean by that? A New Year's resolution type deal. Well, bless God, we're finally going to start saving some money. And they usually require about $100, right? So you finally get $100, you know, put together. And you go down and you open up a savings account and you have every intention in the world, don't you? Of adding whatever it was, you know, $20 a week or, you know, whatever it is you're going to add to that. And finally, you're going to start getting your nose above water. Aren't you? I can tell from the looks, I'm not the only one that's had this experience. Because just a short time, usually within 30, 40 days, the washing machine goes out, blow a tire on the car, get an abscess tooth, something. And there you go again. I got to cancel my savings account. Give me my $100. Now, just for fun, you can tell there's more than just me. How many have had that experience? Now, I'm going to really stick my neck out now, because when you tell people you got money, people come wanting to borrow it. In less than 2 years, well, right at 2 years to the day, obeying him. We have a savings account with $40,000 in it. And now listen to this part, because these tapes go everywhere and I know what they're thinking. Well, yeah, you're taking all that money that comes in and putting it in there. Not one penny of that money came through the ministry at all. None of it. Not one single penny. Well, how did it happen? It's none of your business. That's between us and the Lord. You start doing this, you give your own testimony up here. I really wouldn't mind to tell you, except if I did, you'd all be saying, "Me too, Lord," and you'd expect the Lord to do it the same way. And I already tell you, as soon as you get it figured out how the Lord's going to do something, He will go out of His way to do it some other way just to prove to you He's God and you're not. You let Him do His side. See, that's the whole thing about Matthew 6:33. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." The Lord gave me His own definition of that word, those three words, "and His righteousness" one time. And if you're taking notes, you ought to write this down. I'm going to give you a word-for-word quote. His righteousness means, and the Lord actually said it in the first person, He says, "My righteousness means all responsibility and all power for accomplishment in your life is based on My action and not your own." And I'll say it again. All responsibility and all power for accomplishment in your life is based on My action and not your own. Taking that back to Matthew 6:33, what does that mean, Gary? It means you're never going to prove yourself more righteous than Him. And if you do your part, if you really set yourself to seek first the kingdom of God, that's your part. His righteousness, His part is, all these things shall be added unto you. He takes responsibility for it. He supplies the power for it to happen. You don't even have to figure it out. All you got to do, it just gets to be so simple. You know what our part is? Obey Him. It's like Yonzi Cho with those little eyes, you know? Yonzi Cho. I pray and I obey. I phrase it like this all the time. Whatever He says to you, do it. Same thing. Now, Luke 15:1. Are we ever going to read this? Yes. Now, are you more interested? All right. Now, quick, Sue calls me the master of synopsis. And you ought to get last week's tape, because I'm going to have to skip a ton of stuff, because we got a lot of stuff tonight. Okay? But we'll see how quickly I can summarize last week. Luke 15:1. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him, speaking of Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Now let's stop right there. What visual picture do we have? Here we see the Son of God Himself, who has left His Father's house in heaven. He has come to the planet Earth for the express purpose of seeking and saving the lost. That's why He's out amongst the publicans and the sinners. It's hard to get them if you don't go out amongst them. Amen? All right, the religious folks of the day, being the Pharisees and the scribes, they are horrified. They're saying, because their heart is not right. They don't understand God's heart towards publicans and sinners at all. And they're going, Well, this man claims to be a holy man of God, and here he is out associating with publicans and sinners. You can almost hear sinners, you know, this self-righteous, holier-than-thou spirit in there. You can just hear that. Now, everything from that point through Luke 17:10 that's all one subject based on what they said right there. And he is giving he's trying to instruct these Pharisees and scribes, giving them a chance to repent. He's trying to show them, you're all messed up about the kingdom of God. I'm doing it right. You're doing it wrong. I'm going to give you illustration after illustration after illustration here so that you'll understand and have a chance to repent. Okay, you go through there, and this is where we have the prodigal son. We have the unjust steward. We have the rich man and Lazarus. Where did that rich man wind up, by the way? Jesus is trying to rescue these guys. He's doing his best, and this is serious stuff. Okay? Now, I'm not going to read the prodigal son. Everybody has heard that story since the time they were in Sunday school. But everyone knows the story. The man had two sons. The one son came and says, Father, divide unto me my inheritance. Give me my inheritance. So he took his. He left. He squandered it on harlots. Wasted his father's money on sin, lust of the flesh. Wound up in a bad way in a far country, feeding swine, which for a Jew would be probably the most despicable job you could have. All right, the man had another son that's in that story. He's called the elder brother. And he's out in the fields, and he's busy all the time. He considers himself to be a good man because he tells the father, he says, I've never transgressed your commandments at any time. And it says he is laboring in his father's fields. But he doesn't understand the heart of his father at all. Because once that prodigal come home, did you notice how angry he got? Now see, the publicans and sinners here are typified by the prodigal. They've left the father's house. They've wasted his goods. They've, associated with harlots, and now they're in a bad way in a far country feeding swine. Okay? But now the elder brother in that story is the Pharisees and the scribes. Oh, they're so busy, out in the father's fields. We wash our hands. We do everything right according to the traditions of the fathers. We have not transgressed the commandment at any time. But they despised publicans and sinners. And that self-righteous spirit is always that way. They despised the very ones that Jesus came to die eventually on the cross to rescue, to die for and rescue. So, when I was meditating that one day, and again, from last week's tape, meditation, like Dave teaches, the best way to do it is find the beginning of the subject and the ending of the subject, so you can meditate everything in between, because the Lord is drawing an exquisite portrait, a landscape, a tapestry here. And every verse is like a stroke of the brush. Every verse, every statement is important. But it's also important to leave them in context. If you don't understand the overall thing that he's talking about, and you just lift out a few little verses or an isolated passage, you can get real goofy. Okay? So if you really want to understand how to seek first the kingdom of God, I would suggest to you that you read Luke 15:1 through Luke 17:10 about 100 times. Build that whole image into your spirit. There is tons of information. We could have a conference on kingdom finances easily, 30 sessions easily, and never milk everything that's out of that passage. I've already done several on that passage, and I haven't near milked it all yet. And I got some more today, which I'm going to give you free. Hallelujah. Well, I was meditating through there one day. Now, here's the thing about meditation. At first, it's kind of work, You're feeding it into your spirit. Nobody enjoys reading that 100 times. No, I mean, that part is not fun. Do you think that part's fun for anybody? Your brain, I'm telling you now, will say, after about the third time, I got it. It don't got it. It's lying to you. It's a very arrogant thing. It thinks it can understand the thoughts of God real easy, but it can't. All right? But meditation, once you learn how to really do it, which is just like I described. Feed it into you. Get it into you. Read it again. Read it again. Pray in tongues. Read it again. Pray in tongues. Eventually, the meditation starts taking you over. I mean, it almost gets like you're sitting there watching a movie. This thing's got a life of its own now. Let me tell you what I mean. I was going through there one time, and the Holy Spirit asked me. He says, what would have been the cure? What was the only hope for this elder brother to ever change how he felt about the prodigal, about publicans and sinners? What would have been the only hope for him? And I got to thinking about that. And I said, well, he would have had to come in and sit down with his father and start spending time with his father. If he quit all that busy work, busy, too busy, you know, to go see his father, too busy. I got all this stuff to do. I'm too busy. If he quit that and go in, like I said last week, bring some donuts, make a pot of coffee, say, Dad, I haven't seen you in a long time. You know, let's just sit down and talk for a while. You know, let's just share for a little bit. I want to tell you what's on my heart. I want to hear what's on your heart. You know, let's just visit. Well, I mean, the father's already lost one son. He would love it if the other son would come in and fellowship. So I can see him sitting around the table and they get to talking. You know, it wouldn't have been very long into that conversation before the father would have started telling the son how heartbroken he was over the loss of the prodigal. And the elder son would have been shocked. He said, Dad, I didn't know you felt that way. I thought you were mad at him. I thought you felt about that prodigal the way I did. I mean, the way I see it, he wasted your money. You didn't raise him like this. Here he's gone out and he just squandered his inheritance. And now he's off in a foreign country working for Gentiles. And it's like he's just taken your name and rubbed it in the dirt. And, well, I figured you was mad at him and it just, you know, never wanted to see him again. I had no idea. And the father goes, oh, no, I don't feel that way at all. He says, I don't like what he's doing. I don't like what he's done, but I love my boy. I love my boy. Every day, he says, you may not have noticed, you were probably too busy, but every day I go out on the front porch. And I look, you know, as soon as the sun comes up, it gets light, I start looking down that road in front of the house. And every day I just hope, well, maybe he's coming home today. You know, I tell the cook, you know, I say, why don't you just plan on fixing his favorite supper tonight? Maybe he'll come home today. Yeah, just in hope, you know. That's how parents are about their kids. Now, I think all of mine are here. And I have not always liked everything they did. Oh, I love those girls. There isn't anything they can do. Nothing. They had nothing they can do to take away my love. Now, I may not approve of what they did, but they're my girls. They'll always be my girls. You understand? Y'all do, don't you? Amen. Well, now that elder brother, again, he's going, Dad, I didn't know you felt that way. Would you like for me to go see if I can find him? Maybe I can find him and tell him that you're heartbroken over him, that you love him still, no matter what he's done, and you'd love for him to come home. He probably doesn't know that. Would you like for me to go try and find him? What do you think the father would have said? Well, you'd be willing to do that? Yes. Oh, would you please? Yes. And so I can just see the elder son the next day. Boy, he starts gathering some camels together for this trip, and he gets four or five servants together, and maybe some donkeys, and they start loading on provision, you know, people food and donkey food and whatever it is they're going to need, you know. Thank God for donkey food, you know. And they're getting everything together, getting ready for this trip, and boy, I can see they're ready to go now. And here comes the father out, and he gives his son a hug and kisses him, you know, and puts his hand on him to bless the trip, and here they go. And boy, the father's saying, all right, you know, they're going to go find my boy, my lost son. They're going to bring him home. So I see them diligently going. Of course, they don't know where the prodigal is, you know. They don't know which way he went, so they start asking in every town they come to, have you seen so-and-so? Has he been by here? Yeah, he was through here about 6 months ago. We think he headed south, you know, so can't y'all see that happening? But let's say they're out there about 30 days, and boy, I'm really skipping a lot of stuff. And it's taking longer than what the elder son thought it would take. They thought he thought maybe they'd probably find him in 30 days, and they haven't found him, and now they're starting to run short. They're starting to run out of camel food. They're starting to run out of donkey food. They're starting to run out of people food. You know, the camel's feet are starting to get, get swollen, I don't know, sore. How's that? But, you know, he says, boy, he says, we've been out here longer than I thought. Let me write a list. Let me make it to Dad. Dear Dad, he starts writing a note. We're still looking for your son. I haven't found him yet. We've got some good leads. But it's taken longer than we thought, and we're starting to run low on things. Could you please send us some camel food, some donkey food, some people food, maybe any leftover donuts, maybe some Folgers, you know? And he sends it, he hands that note, and he signs it, your son. And he hands it to a messenger, and the messenger, you know, he starts taking off like a runner does, you know, in those days. They didn't have telephones. And so he takes that message, that petition, back to the Father. Now what do we call that? That's prayer, isn't it? That's prayer. So the Father, you know, every day he goes out looking anyway, hoping to see him coming, bringing his son. And he sees this runner coming. He says, well, news, all right, you know. So the runner comes and hands him this petition. He starts looking at it, and he says, Dad, would you please send these things? And he's going, will I send these things? He says, this isn't nearly enough. It may take longer than what they're thinking. He says, I'm not only going to send everything that's on this list, I'm going to do exceeding abundantly beyond this. He says, gather up some wagons. We're not only going to send the things on this list, they're going to need more than that. Kill the fatted calf. Let's have some beef. Let's have some good stuff. Those servants of his, they're probably getting tired. I'm going to send him some new people. Get some fresh camels together. Fresh camels. I'm going to do exceeding abundantly beyond anything that they ask for. Anything he needs to find my lost son is his for the asking. And not only that, exceeding abundantly beyond even what he'd ask. Now, can you all see that's the way it would work? Now, I'm going to blow you away with this one. Here's what the Father would not say. Here comes the runner. He sees the list where the Son is asking for these things. He would not do this. He would not write on the bottom of that note, Dear Son, I only answer prayer when you send an offering first. Can you imagine such a thing? He would have been horrified if a $10 bill had been inside that note. Dad, I know that, I know you love your son and I know you love me, but I do know that it's a formula with you, and if I don't give you an offering, you won't send me any provision. And the Father's going, he's been out in the sun too long, you know. I don't know what happened to my boy here. That was last week's message. Do you like it? Now, that wasn't bad, Sue. That was about 8 minutes, 8 or 9 minutes. Master of synopsis. Now, you know Dave's dreaded yellow pad? Do y'all see this? We got part two. The title of tonight's tape is going to be the first one, that one that I just gave you, was called The Serving Son. You really ought to get the tape because I left a bunch of stuff off of there. This tape tonight is called The Serving Son's Enemy. The Serving Son's Enemy. Because I was meditating that passage again, and that vision took off again. My meditator, it became alive. It took me over again like watching a movie. I saw the serving son. He and that group had left the Father's house to seek and save the prodigal. But then I saw that there was an enemy who hated the Father and all of the Father's sons. In fact, this enemy had once, long ago, he had tried to overthrow the Father and take possession of all of his goods. He'd been soundly defeated and no longer had any way to directly attack the Father. His hatred for the Father was now directed towards the Father's sons. He wanted to bring grief to the Father in any way he could. Since he could no longer directly attack the Father, his anger was now directed toward the sons. He reveled in the grief of the Father over the lost prodigal. He wanted that grief to continue. In no wise did he want the prodigal restored to fellowship with the Father, because that would end the father's grief. He saw that the serving son had left the father's house to seek and save the prodigal. He was determined to stop this rescue mission at all costs. Now, this enemy had hordes of beings who were his slaves. They served him. We call those demons. He sent waves of them to attack the serving son in order to stop the rescue mission. Now, let me stop there for just a minute, because what I'm telling you, all I'm doing here, I am writing what I was seeing in my spirit. This was happening in front of me like a movie. All I'm doing is writing down what I saw. Now, get this. You got the picture? We got an enemy come to stop this rescue mission. He had many tactics. Now, as I go through these, I want you, even though I'm reading it in this story format, y'all let me know. You tell me if you recognize any of these tactics of the enemy. All right, now he's got to stop this bunch. He had a lot of tactics. The first thing he did, see the son, this serving son, he's out looking for the prodigal. You get out there in the desert. It's pretty desolate out there. And I saw road signs every now and then, like Damascus is that way and such town is that way. The first thing that the devil did was come switch the road signs. Lead him off in the wrong direction. I know none of y'all have ever been led off in the wrong direction. But in my spirit, as I'm watching this thing unfold, that was the first tactic I saw. He posted fake signs along the roadway that gave false directions in order to lead the serving son in wrong paths. The second tactic, he saw that the father was sending supplies to keep the mission stocked with necessary provisions. He sent some of his hordes to intercept the provisions in order to starve out the serving son and his servants. How many of you have ever felt a little starved out since you started on this path? He kept sending, third tactic, this enemy kept sending false messengers in the name of the father. Well, the father has many servants. He's very wealthy. And this serving son, he doesn't even know by face all of his father's servants. So these men would come, and here's what I saw. They would come saying, your father sent me, and he has a message for you. They brought all sorts of reports. In my notes here, bracket, religion. Here's some of the reports. Now get this. You're out there serving your father the best you know how, trying to find the prodigal, aren't you? Here comes this messenger, supposedly from your father. And he says, I have bad news. Your father died. Now, you young ones don't remember, but we grew up in that era, God is dead. That was a big thing all across the nation. Humanism was reaching a pinnacle. And materialism was reaching a pinnacle. Y'all, how many of y'all were around during that God is dead thing? That was the first one I saw. This messenger come up. He looked right. He looked like he would have been from the Father. And he said, you know, had a very sad countenance. I have some bad news for you. Your father died. In other words, it's all over. Brother. The second message. So, you know, this elder son, he's got to believe something. He's going, I think you're an imposter. Let's say he had enough gumption. He's going, you're an imposter. Get out. You know, you don't work for my father. Go away. Another day or two, here comes another one. Your father sent me. I have a message for you from the father. Oh, really? What is it? Your father's gone broke. That's why there's no provisions. I mean, things were going pretty well when you left, but since then there's been bankruptcy, and just sorry, there won't be any more provision coming your way. Your father went broke. Oh, brother, the stuff we believe. Another messenger came another day and says, the father's angry with you. He doesn't think you're doing your mission right. He's more concerned with how you're doing the mission than the mission itself. You're not washing your hands right before you eat. This report has come back to the Father, and he's very disturbed about it. Therefore, there will be no more provision. You'd better quit now. Now, are y'all picking up any of this stuff? I'm saying this in story form like I saw it. How many of y'all have thoughts? The thoughts come, you know. Well, he would send you provisions, but he's just angry with you, you know. You're just not doing it right, brother. Now, we'll get to this one in a minute. See, can y'all see this caravan out in the desert with high sand dunes? That's the way I saw it in the vision. This elder son, he can't see over that sand dune behind him that the Father's wagons have been intercepted by a horde of devils and they're holding that thing at bay. Do y'all remember when that angel had to fight his way through the devils in order to come to Daniel and give him the prophecy? See, but the prodigal, this elder serving son, he can't see over that sand dune. He doesn't know that the provisions have already been sent. They're being held up, but it wasn't that the Father didn't send them. All he knows is the provision hasn't come yet, but he can't tell why. All he knows, so here comes one of these masquerading messengers, false messengers, supposedly for the Father, says, well, the Father's, for whatever reason, it's not coming. Your answer is not coming, those messengers tell you all the time. For whatever reason. Religion. One more of those, and another one comes a few days later. I have a message from your Father. Your Father sent me. Really? Yes. I have a message for you. What is it? He changed his mind. He canceled the mission. Yeah, he canceled the mission. He changed his mind. You're no longer to seek and save the lost. You're to go do this instead. How many of y'all know the gifts and calling of God are without repentance? He will not alter the thing that has gone out of his mouth. Never yet in all this time have I yet had God change his mind. If there's any mind changing to be done, guess whose mind it always is? Mine. He never changes his mind, not once, not ever. Does not alter the thing that comes out of his lips. All right, now, so we have, can you see, that was one kind, okay, so we saw that he was changing, he put up false road signs to get the direction wrong. He sent, this enemy sent hordes to intercept the provisions and hold them up. Then he starts sending all of these false messengers by false servants, supposedly from the Father, when they weren't at all. They were not from the Father, and they were not speaking his message either. Okay, now, none of this stopped that. I mean, this guy's one of those guys that didn't have any quitting sense, this serving son. He's still out there. Now, he's having trouble, but he's still out there. Okay? So now this enemy he starts sending direct attacks. Direct attacks. Nick will like this one. When the direct attacks came, the first thing that happened, the camels went lame. How many of y'all drove your camel here tonight? Car trouble. All kinds of car trouble. Okay? Direct attacks, sickness, and disease started coming on the elder son and his servants. All kinds of diversions in the form of calamity. All kinds of stuff. Dust storms, lightning, floods came. All kinds of stuff. They were having the shortages of every kind, equipment failure, lack, everything. Direct attacks were coming now. Now you gotta understand, this elder son, how many of y'all know the devil is also a spirit? You can't see him. You see the effects of what he does. But because you can't see him, you know, how many of you have ever thought, boy, I wish just for one minute the devil, I could just see him in flesh and blood, I'd knock his likes out. You know, how many of y'all ever felt like that? See? But when you can't see him, you know, that's one of the devil's big tools, because he'll do it to you and blame it on the Father. He does it to you, you know, well, God would heal you, but he's upset with you. God would send you the money, but you ain't doing it right. And none of that is true. It's the devil attacking you, trying to stop your mission. How many times have you heard Dave say, Mark chapter 4, he says, all persecution, all the cares of this world, all affliction, all of that stuff, it's designed for one thing and one thing only, to steal the word out of your heart. What was this elder son's word? Go seek and save the prodigal. And all of this trouble was designed for one thing and one thing only. Stop the rescue mission. Got it? Keep going here. Well, when the troubles didn't work, sending all this trouble, well, then he started sending temptations of pleasure. He thought, well, maybe I can divert the son from the father's rescue mission. You know, eat, drink, and be merry. Life is short. Enjoy it. He also sent diversions in the form of false assignments, saying that the father wanted him to do all of these things too, in addition to his real mission. That's called busy work. That's called shadow boxing. That's called getting involved in stuff that God never called you to do. In the world, you hear this all the time, the key to success. I used to teach this. I used to teach these success things. The key to success in the world, find a need and fill it. No. In the kingdom of God, you'll die doing that. Because there's more needs than you're ever going to be able to fill. Now, in the kingdom of God, it's find your call and do it.
Glory to God.
He's got lots of servants. Your job is to find your call where you fit in the body, and you do what he tells you. You yourself are not Christ. You are not the be-all and supply-all of every person out there. And the devil, if you don't know that principle, he'll get you so busy. Well, you need to have an outreach. Well, and see, now, all of these things are good, but what I'm saying is he'll try and get you involved in all of them. You need to be involved in outreach, but you know, you need to be involved in our bus ministry. You need to be involved in children's ministry. You need to be involved in, aren't you going to bake a cake for such and such? And aren't you going to do this? And aren't you going to do that? And won't you fix everybody's car? And whatever else he can get you involved in if you're gullible enough to do it. Because if he keeps you all that busy, busy, busy work, you're never even going to have time to go in with the Father and find out what your call is. How do you know that, Brother Gary?
Been there, done that.
Dear God. I'm a nice guy, you know. It takes a while to get enough of the love of God. Oh, this is a good one. It takes a while. I've never said this before, Brad. It takes a while to get enough of the love of God in you to learn how to say no. And you better learn how to say no. You better say yes to what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do and give your life to it. That is seeking first the kingdom. That will prosper. And all that other stuff you take on aside from that is just going to hold you back. That's good preaching, Brother Gary. Hallelujah. Okay, that didn't work either. So now this enemy, he started sending these hordes in. See, because the elder son, he couldn't do it by himself. He had these servants with him, you know, all these other people that were helping. So this enemy, he sent hordes in of devils to cause envy, jealousy, strife among the servants who went with the serving son. Because this enemy knows that a house divided can't stand. Well, pretty soon these guys are having fist fights and there's blood in the sand, you know, and everybody's arguing with everybody and nobody can agree on anything. And now this rescue mission that's supposed to be covering large amounts of ground every day trying to find the prodigal, they're lucky if they make a mile a day. Some days they even wind up going backwards a mile. All this strife going on, all this division, all this jealousy and envy. Everybody's lost sight of why they left the Father's house in the first place. Well, that didn't stop this elder son either. Y'all liking this elder son? At least he's not a quitter, is he? He, by golly, he set out to find the prodigal. He's still out to find him. So then the enemy sent his hordes into the villages along the way to start stirring up the people against the serving son. So these people would come out and say stuff like this. This is what I saw in this vision. They come out and they'd say, you're a fool to give your life to rescue trash like that prodigal. That brother of yours, he made his choice. You know, really, I think you misunderstood your father. We know your father better than you do. Your father's a God of judgment. And all he really wants is judgment and punishment for the prodigal. You misunderstood him. You probably ought to abandon this. Alright? Then they, if he still continued, then they started calling him arrogant and prideful to even think that the father would supply every need of his in order to finance this mission. They'd say, Steph, who do you think you are? You mean to tell me that God, you mean to tell me that your father, just because you ask him, he is going to send everything that you need in order to get this done? Now, we don't believe that at all, and let me tell you why. We know your father. We know him. And for years, we've been asking him to send us longer cars and VCRs. As we sit around here enjoying life and making merry, eat, drink, and be merry, and we'd like to have longer cars and VCRs to live our merry life with. And we've asked him I don't know how many times, and he's never sent them to us. Well, they're not on the same mission, are they? They're not on the same mission, are they? No wonder why the Father doesn't send it to them. Now seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God has actually sent us a better car and a VCR. Well, no, we got the same car. But he's taken care of our car, and he did send a VCR since we started this. There isn't anything he won't send you. I like the way Norville puts it. God's got lots of blessings. He's hoping you get some of them.
Hallelujah.
But part of it comes with finding your seeking first the kingdom, finding your place in there. Then these villagers, you know, they came along and they said one other thing. They said, you know, we've learned that really, God's really, you know, your father's really not much of a provider. We found out that he helps those that help themselves. So, you know, we don't even go to him anymore. We just pretty much depend on ourselves, and we enjoy a pretty good life. And really, you ought to just come and join us. And I mean, your father's pretty stingy if you just want to know the truth about it. All kinds of stuff. Like, I know nobody ever hears that kind of thinking in their ears. But this guy did in his vision that I had. Can you see this serving son is having trouble? He's having trouble, isn't he? All kinds of opposition. Flaky road signs, flaky people. What his provision wagons are being held up by devils. I mean, and everybody, false messengers coming in the name of God, telling him all kinds of trash. You know? And but still, yeah, hard-headed bugger, I gotta give him credit. He's still out there. You know? Now that serving son, he soon learned that he needed much more than just financial provision in order for his mission to be successful. So he sent a messenger back to the father telling him of all these attacks by the enemy. He's going, Father, did you know there's an enemy out here? I can't see him, but I can sure tell he's an enemy. We're having all kinds of attacks come against us. Father, I need some help here. The father, when he read that message, was, now, this is for teaching purposes. I'm telling you how the vision unfolded. The father was outraged when he found this out. And he says, he declared all out war on this enemy, whom had already been defeated, but was still attacking anyway. Now, for teaching purposes, let me say that the father had a supernatural ally named the Holy Spirit. This ally was invisible, but all-powerful. Nothing was impossible for this Holy Spirit. In addition, he had hordes of powerful angels who were available to put down the attacks of the enemy's demons. The Father said, I will send my Holy Spirit to be with my serving son forever. Anything that is needed in the way of power and anointings will be available to my serving son at all times. My son shall never lack any good thing. My Holy Spirit will also be my serving son's counselor. He will only speak the truth. Whenever false reports come, my serving son will turn to this counselor to find out the truth. He'll never have to depend on false reports again. Not only that, but my Holy Spirit already knows exactly where the prodigal is. He will provide the leadership for my serving son. My serving son will never have to depend on natural road signs again. He'll never have to be moved by circumstances, because my Spirit will lead him himself. Glory to God. Are y'all liking this? All of the power to destroy sickness and poverty will be available through my Holy Spirit. No longer will the enemy be able to place disease upon my serving son. No longer will the enemy be able to intercept my provisions, which I have sent. All that I have is available to my serving son. My Holy Spirit will make manifest to him whatever he needs to complete his course with joy. And he will be victorious. And he will be successful. Amen? What joy it was to the serving son when the Holy Spirit arrived from the Father. He found that he received power now that the Holy Spirit had come to him. And I mean, things started straightening up. The mission now continued with great increase in success. They weren't going off on rabbit trails anymore. The serving son, he found out the Holy Spirit told him, your wagons are about 5 miles behind you. The Father sent them a long time ago, and these devils have got them held up. What should I do? Speak the word only and let me loose, says the Holy Ghost. The serving son, he speaks the word, and the Holy Spirit, here's all these, if you can picture in your mind, like here's these demons surrounding the provision wagons. The serving son speaks the word only, and the Holy Spirit goes over and goes, and they go scattering like the wind. You're just rolling away, you know, just one breath from the Holy Ghost, and these demons are, and the provisions are loosed, and the wagons come on into the camp with all of the provisions. Hallelujah. He found that now the provisions have started to come. No more are they going off on all these rabbit trails. Every time a false messenger comes and he hears a report, the serving son, he just looks to the Holy Spirit and says, what about that? And the Holy Spirit either says it's a lie or it's the truth. But he didn't have to depend on the messengers anymore. This Holy Spirit's with him all the time, and he has no need anymore. Concerning those that have come to deceive him, he has an unction from the Holy Ghost, and he knows all things. The Spirit of truth has come. He didn't have to depend on religion. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's great. Can you see how this mission is going forward with much greater clarity? You know that enemy still did not give up in this vision I had? Now at first, when the Holy Spirit showed up and he saw all of his, you know, the camel's knees got healed, the provisions come in, that they were no longer going off on rabbit trails. They were no longer having to listen to false reports. At first, the enemy was completely dumbfounded as to what he might do to disrupt the mission. He had no power. He didn't have any power nor any authority against this Holy Spirit who had come from the Father. This Holy Spirit could not be tempted. He could not be deceived. And he could not be overpowered. The enemy's going, what am I going to do? As long as the serving son stays in close fellowship with that Holy Spirit, no weapon I form against him can prosper. Now the enemy decided he only had one hope, only one hope of destroying the mission. Since this Holy Spirit was invisible, the enemy had to somehow convince the serving son that the Holy Spirit had not actually come to him. His only hope was to get the serving son out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. From that point on, the enemy focused all of his strategy on breaking the fellowship, the communication between the serving son and the Holy Spirit. If the enemy could somehow break that line of communication, the serving son would be cut off from the power and provision of the Father, And he would be left to continue the mission in his own strength. In his own strength, he was no match for the enemy. Does that remind you of a verse? How about Zechariah 4:6? This is the word of the Lord, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now do you understand that the number one thing that the devil is always after is your prayer time? Do you know in our generation, now see in the beginning of the gospel, after the book of Acts, the devil's first attempt to destroy Christianity was to lock up the word of God. And they literally locked up the word in monasteries and it became illegal for the common people to even have Bibles. And because of that, the whole world went into what we call the Dark Ages. Understand that? And it was a man named Martin Luther, really, that got the revelation of the just shall live by faith. He got a revelation and started, from that point, mankind started coming out of the Dark Ages. But a lot of centuries went by, and a lot of the revelation knowledge of the Word of God was lost. And it's been being restored all this time, even to this day. Now, don't you find it interesting that in our generation, how many of y'all have more than one Bible at home? How many have more than two? More than three? You know, any church in town you can go to here, any church, you can find Bibles there, can't you? Now, do you find it interesting that in our generation, this enemy that's out to stop us is not trying to keep the book away from us? Do you know why? It's not the book he's afraid of. That is the living word that he's afraid of. But until the Holy Spirit breathes life into this, where it's no longer a book on your mantle, but it's the living word in your heart, until that time it has no real power. And he is not afraid of a book on your coffee table. He is not afraid of a book that you carry back and forth to church. What he's afraid of is if that word ever becomes a living thing in you, enlightened and empowered in you by the Holy Spirit, and starts growing up in you. So, the word without the Holy Spirit, hey, pick any church you want. The town's full of them. Pick anyone you want. There's probably 200 denominations in this one town. You go to any 200 of them, they'll teach you something different out of the same verse. The Holy Spirit doesn't teach the Bible 200 different ways. He teaches it one way. It means what it meant when it left the heart of the Father. It doesn't mean anything else either. And the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit. Now, what has the devil fought in our generation? Louder? More specifically? The first answer was prayer, and I said more specifically, praying in other tongues. He has fought tongues harder than anything else in our generation. I mean hard. Why? If he can separate you and break your line of communication with the Holy Spirit, you're left to your own devices. And you'll be trying to do the Father's mission in your own strength against a supernatural enemy. And you yourself, I don't care how much you love God, you are no match for the devil on your own. He's been around 6,000 years. He's been watching humans. He knows how to deal with you. And if you're going to overcome him, you better have a supernatural ally. His name is the Holy Ghost. And he's been sent from the Father. But you notice, just like how many times you set out to start that savings account, how many of you have set out time after time, I am going to have a prayer life. I'm going to pray X number of hours a week. Come on now, raise your hands. How many? How many have found disruptions, side trails, weak camel knees, flat tires, I don't know what all? What? He has to get you out of prayer. If he doesn't, he is no match for you. And it's not you, it's that Holy Spirit that the Father sent to be with you. That's what the devil's afraid of. That's why he fights tongues in the first place. And then for those that won't be stopped there, he fights your own personal prayer life. So you yourself don't have that communication with the Holy Ghost. Because if he can cut you off from that Holy Spirit, he's cut you off from the power, from the gifts, from the anointing, and from probably ever even finding out what God called you to do in the first place. That's what the enemy fears. Your little old prayer life. You mean, Brother Gary, that the devil is afraid of me coming down here and spending about 4 or 5 hours praying in other tongues? He fears that more than anything on earth. Because right there is where all the transfer of the Father's provisions comes from this realm of the Spirit into your reborn human spirit, where you start growing up into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And when you speak, the Holy Spirit does. He fears it more than anything, Andy. That's why he fights your prayer life. I mean, the devil, he'll go with you to any church in town, sit there on the pew with you, sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. He could care less whether you go to church, whether you don't go to church. He doesn't make him any difference whether you go to church on Sunday morning or go to the local bar. He could care less as long as there's no power. Well, he'll sit right there with you. Amazing Grace, how sweet. As long as you can't cast out one of his devils. As long as you can't open any blind eyes. As long as you can't destroy any of his works, he doesn't care. He doesn't care whether you're at the bar or at the first church or at this church if there's no power. Any church. He doesn't care. Now, how is that power ever going to come if it's not by the Holy Ghost? And how is that going to come to you if you have no fellowship with him? That's what he fears. You mean I could put fear in the devil's heart today? Oh, yeah. Make that commitment to spend hours praying in other tongues. And you'll actually put the devil some fear in him for a change. That's what he fears. But you might as well know he's going to try and stop you when you set out to do it. He has to. Or you're going to start destroying his works eventually. Hallelujah. Y'all getting anything out of that? Now let me, quick summary here. I got a few minutes. Hey, the Lord's doing pretty good. It's not even 9 o'clock. Hallelujah. Now, y'all have to understand that the serving Son is still on the earth today. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is one body. He has one body made up of many members. Everyone raise your hand. You are a member of that body. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 12:12. You don't need to turn there. Let me, you can get them later or get the tape. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now how many serving sons really is there? There's Christ. He has a body on the earth with many members. Everyone raise your hand again and say, I am a member of the single body of Jesus Christ. All right, with that in mind, not all have the same office, but we all have the same call. How many times have you heard Pastor Dave says, what's our first call? Soul winning is our call. The bottom line is always soul winning, and it doesn't make any difference what your job is in the body. You may be an evangelist. You may be a secretary working in the office. You may be raising godly seed right now. That may be your part. Maybe one of those children you're raising will be the next Billy Graham. Maybe one of them be the next Norval Hayes, glory to God. Who knows, eh? But we've all got a part to play. And every part is important. The evangelist out on the front line isn't any more important than Mary Corbett up there when she's doing her work in his office. There's no difference whatsoever. The fellow driving the bus to pick up the homeless, that is just as much a part of the body of Christ as the healing evangelist when the miracles take place in Peru. It doesn't make any difference. And Paul goes on to say, 1 Corinthians 12:15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Well, of course not. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Still part of the body, isn't it? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. Now, as it has pleased who? You might as well know this right off. You don't get to choose your call. Now, you don't get to choose your call. The type and shadow of that from the Old Testament, Israel was divided into tribes by lot. They threw lots. It was by in the hand of God how those borders were drawn. Do you know you didn't have a choice if you were born a Benjamite or a Danite or whatever tribe you were born of? You didn't have a choice. When you were born, you were that. When you got born again, you were that. We're what? God has placed you in the body at his will. He gave gifts unto men. You have certain gifts from God. You have a calling and you can't change it. Now, he may grow you up as you grow and progress. You know, Paul started out as a prophet and a teacher and eventually became an apostle, did he not? But he always preached the gospel. Amen? All right, now, if they were all one member, where were the body? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No matter what your office is in the body of Christ, the life of Christ within you is empowered for dominion through the agency of the Holy Spirit, which the Father has sent you. Be sure you stay in close fellowship and communion with the Holy Spirit. He has come to enforce the victory of Christ in every area of your life. Now get this. This is the message. At all costs, do not forsake your communion with the Holy Spirit. I leave you with 2 Corinthians 3:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Now please, when bad stuff happens to you this week, Gary, are you prophesying? No. Remember the serving son being about his business. Where were all those attacks coming from? Was any of them from God the Father? All of that bad stuff was coming for one reason and one reason only, and that was to discourage them, stop them, starve them out, make them sick, do something. You got to do something. And what was the answer, finally? What was the answer? The Holy Spirit. And it's not just praying in tongues, but that's where he teaches you all the other things. He'll teach you how to speak the word only. He'll start manifesting his gifts through you. He'll give you a word of wisdom, what to do right now that'll stop that work of the enemy. He'll give you a word of knowledge right now on what to do. He'll give you the gift. You say, I can't believe it. Whoosh. He'll give you the gift of faith, and then you can't not believe it. It's a gift. It'll just come on you. Sure, I can raise the dead. I do it all the time. Sure. Choom. They're raised from the dead, and then that gift leaves, and you go, oh, my God. It's a gift of faith. Holy Ghost has got all that stuff, and he'll train you how to operate in it if we spend the time with him. So tongues is the beginning, but he'll teach us how to make best use of everything that he has, and he's got it all. That'd be a good tape sometime. He's got it all. Hallelujah, I like that. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I thank you that much deception. Father, I thank you for your Holy Ghost. I thank you that we don't have to listen to false reports by false messengers supposedly come from you. Father, I thank you that the enemy has been defeated. You have sent the Holy Spirit to enforce the dominion and the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we never have to accept defeat, not once, not ever. Father, I thank you there is no such thing as lack in your kingdom. I thank you that we have all and abound, that there is always more than enough sufficient for our needs and more than enough to give into every good work. Father, I thank you that the spirit of deception has been dealt a mortal blow. The spirit of religion has been dealt a mortal blow. That accuser that would come and accuse shortages on you, Father, we recognize him for who he is. We cast him out and we turn to our counselor, the Holy Spirit, who will only always speak the truth to us. Father, I thank you for reminding all of us of this message as we go about our week. Father, thank you for the communion of your Holy Spirit. We give you praise for it in the name of Jesus. And all the people said, amen. Hallelujah.